Now, in studio, your lending expert, family man, and servant leader, who's committed to honoring and empowering San Diego's servant leaders to rise up. Your host of Rise Up Radio, James Carmody.
Welcome. You are listening to Rise Up Radio. I'm your host, James Carmody. Thank you so much for tuning in, folks. We have a fantastic show for you today. We have more servant leaders that are moving the needle in San Diego, helping us own San Diego as America's finest city. And we just, you know, we believe that in our hearts. We're here to spread the good news. We're here to share who's doing good work in the community of San Diego and making a difference. Thank you for all the love and support. We're in our third year now, and we are expanding and growing, and it's been just a blessing, and the outpouring of support's been fantastic. Remember, you can follow us online at sdriseup.com. Again, that's sdriseup.com. We're always looking for great stories. Who's that person in your life that is moving the needle and needs their story told? And that could look like your kid's little league coach, maybe the pastor of your church or your small business owner, or maybe your kid's teacher, or maybe that's you. Maybe you have a great story to tell. We'd love to hear that. So please go to sdriseup.com, and there's a button on there. You can nominate that hero, and we'll reach out to them, and we would love to share their stories because we are committed to spreading the good news and owning San Diego as America's finest city. So a couple of great guests in studio that on a very, very important topic we're getting into today, folks. So, you know, if you're driving, please make sure your seatbelt is on. If you're at home, strap yourself into your couch because we are going to talk about some very impactful topics. We have an organization in studio with us, the U School, and it's the uschool.com. Scott Schimmel, welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
And Drake Fages, welcome, sir.
What's going on?
Gentlemen, all right, so I love what the U School stands for. You know, you guys have given us a good briefing. Very excited to kind of tie in these topics. But before we even get into all that, who are you guys?
Oh,
what's your background?
Who are
you guys from?
We are frequent radio guests, is who we are. No, just kidding. So I grew up Orange County, came down to school, University of San Diego.
Great.
I was studied accounting.
Okay.
Which was very wise and practical.
Yes.
And decided not to go into that, following my father's footsteps. Instead, I went into college ministry for 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So I had this big faith awakening of my own in college and decided I want to be a part of that, part of what God's doing. You're supposed to be like a year or two in college ministry, and I'm spending a decade.
Decade? Okay,
yeah.
Good.
And then it's a longer story, but I ended up starting U School about 6 years ago with a couple other guys.
Wow.
And
so accounting never even happened.
No, I don't know anything. I can't even do my own taxes.
Got it.
My wife remembers that about every 6 months. Wait a second, didn't you study accounting?
LIFO, FIFO.
It's all good. Yeah, LIFO, FIFO gets good. That's good. Debits on the left, credits on the right.
That's all I remember. Okay. Well, Scott, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And Drake, how about you? Where are you from? Where'd you go to school? How'd you get into the U School?
Yeah, I grew up in Temecula. So,
okay. Couple of SoCal boys. I like
it. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We call it the San Diego of the IE.
Okay.
So,
really?
Grew up there. No.
No.
grew up there. Jumped into medical sales shortly after a career playing sports, baseball through college, and found kind of similar situation, living a life that wasn't fulfilling,
mm-hmm.
didn't feel like I was maximizing who I was or what I wanted to be, what I wanted to do. Joined the U School about 2 years ago off of experience, off of studying athletes, people who want something great in life and have it for a short stint, and then it stops. So jumped in 2 feet, Scott, 2 years ago. And just have been loving it ever since.
As a caveat, we do like accountants and medical sales professionals. You can be great at that. Just not our thing. Not what we do.
No.
Got it. You guys saw a different calling.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how long ago did we start the U School?
6 years ago.
Okay. And why? Like what?
Yeah. There's a couple sides of story from my side. Doing college ministry, especially at good schools like USD, UCSD, San Diego State. I mean, these are top schools. And after doing that for 10 years, training servant leaders, sending them out into the world, all these different professions, careers, the idea was we're going to develop world changers. We're going to shape their hearts and minds in college, and it's just going to feed into every industry, into neighborhoods, into little league teams, et cetera. But after 9 years, I don't know why I hadn't thought this before. I actually wanted to check in. Is that happening? Mm. Is that true? So I ended up tracking down 400 alumni from these different campuses, from UCSD, USD State, and I wanted to check in. And these weren't just graduates. These were 25 years old, 28, 30, 32. And primarily, at first, I was asking them questions about faith. But soon, in those conversations, they would share with me, I'm actually pretty bored. I haven't had a close group of friends since college, and I hate what I do for a living, and I have no idea what to do next. And so it wasn't just some out of those 400. It was all but three. Told me the same story. So I took a big step back personally and thought, maybe, number one, I've been blowing it. Maybe I haven't been mentoring these kids well. But I think on a broader scale, there's something going on systemically that is actually setting people up to be lost and confused. And that's how we started the youth school. The other side of it, these two other guys that I started the program with, Sean Parr runs an agency called Bulldog Drummond. Greg Imamoto, calls himself a distress turnaround specialist, a COO. They had this experience of working with successful executives who were miserable in their private lives. So running big companies, but personally not doing well. And so Sean and Greg would ask these questions like, where do you send somebody? Is it Oprah? Is it a church? Is it Tony Robbins? What book? Where do you go if you actually want to figure out who you are and how to live your best life? Mm. And so they had this idea of, what if there was a place like U School? And then collectively got together and said, and if we were to make that place, who would it be for? And originally the idea was it would be for teenagers, it'd be for high school kids, because that's when you start thinking about all these big questions. And what if there was a way to get clear about who you are, what you believe in, what's important to you? Imagine all those decisions that you'd make that could be cascaded over the course of a lifetime. So it's not about rescuing people in their middle age or older. It's about helping people get started well.
Absolutely. I am very, very impressed, and I am very, very interested. You said something that struck me, which is there something missing systemically that is having such a large percentage of people turn around and they find themselves, you know, in their 30s or 40s, and they're not satisfied in their career and who they are for themselves?
Right. Yeah, I think part of it now, you have a group of parents, generation of parents, who did that. They went to work because that's what you do. You go get a job, you pay the bills. And I think the equation was, if you do that for X amount of time, you will at some point be rewarded. Let's call it retirement or find your passion later on. But that group of people, parents, would say, you know what, that hasn't turned out well. I'm actually pretty miserable in my career. So then they have kids and they tell their kids, hey, number one, we need you to be successful. You got to get a job. But it's make sure it makes you happy. And so now you have high school and college age kids who've been told you got to pick a career, you got to do something important, but make sure it's happy. And you have your parents and their friends who haven't actually demonstrated what happiness looks like or what it actually is. So it's an extra burden that now I think we see kids coming out of college and saying, you know what, I'm not going to take that job, even though it makes good money, because it's not, I just know it's not my thing. It doesn't feel easy or good. And so that's one of the problems. I think that's one of the many problems. One of the most significant problems is parents passing on something that they actually can't fulfill themselves.
Interesting. Logically, I think that makes complete sense. I also, you know, wonder, like, are we exposing people to enough option opportunities and giving mm-hmm. them the opportunity to do enough research mm-hmm. along the way before they find themselves at 25 and, you know, I'm in this accounting role and I don't want to be in
No
offense to accountants. I don't have need some phone close calls. Friends that are accountants. And they're not passionate about it.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
I mean.
And they didn't know what
else was
out there.
I can only speak from personal experience,
right.
But I remember in high school when the guidance counselor is like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
I don't know. What are my options? I love the ocean. I like art.
Sure.
And then you go down the path and it's like, well, I don't want to be a starving artist.
Right.
I don't want to be a marine biologist trying to live off 20 grand a year.
Yep.
Okay, great. Go to business school.
Or the question, what are you passionate about? I mean, if you would ask me at 16, I would have said girls.
Soccer.
Golf.
Right.
Watching ESPN. Yeah. Playing Hot Frisbee.
Pockets. Hot pockets. Yeah, I think something that goes into it is we don't create the space to self-reflect on that. We could have tons of options. And coming out as part of this millennial generation, you have options and you have majors. You have too many majors. Yeah. There's this huge debate right now about revoking certain majors in certain areas of the country.
Oh, gosh. I mean, you could have it like there's majors nowadays from some of these online schools. Like, you want to be a grass watcher?
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. And they're grass watcher. It sounds awesome. But you don't get the set space to self-reflect on some of these options. You get all of it in front of you. And you have assessments and you have things that tell you what you would be good at, but you don't process that yourself. You could sit down for 150 to 400 questions, true, false, right, multiple choice, whatever. And they'll say, hey, here's a gambit of stuff.
Right.
But how do you know that, yeah, how do you know which one that is? How do you yeah, really truly sit, digest, know this is here? Let me throw a filter of what I would define as happiness based on virtues, values, principles, things that people need to decide for themselves. There just isn't that space through the process of defining.
On top of that, you're a teenager, a young adult.
Yeah.
You have no clue.
Right.
Ever changing.
But I think the theory then is, this is what high school kids hear. If you don't know who you are, you don't know what to do, that's okay. But you need to go to a good school, go to a good college. And then in college, you get there and you're still confused, but now you actually have to narrow the track down even more. And those same parents who told you that in high school are now telling you that senior year in college. Hey, right, no one really knows themselves is what they now hear, but you got to go get a job. And maybe in that job, you'll find something about it that lights you up.
Right.
But there's no,
and then it just compounds. You know? I mean,
the stakes become higher.
Continue to unpack this because this is such an important topic. Folks, we're going to take a short break. You're listening to Rise Up Radio. Stick around. We'll be back in a few.
AM 1170, The Answer.
Hey, folks, James Carmody, Synergy One Lending. Are you in the market to buy a property and need to close really fast? Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team is your family-owned mortgage bank. Right now, there's low inventory. There's a lot of offers. It's competitive. Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team can close your loan in as little as 10 days. Call today to find out more. 858-525-3086. Call James Carmody and the Carmody team at Synergy One Lending. 858-525-3086.
Of course I want our kids to eat fresh, healthy foods all the time. But we don't have a supermarket nearby, so it's a challenge.
I wish we were closer to good health care because of our son's asthma. Frankly, it's scary at times.
I'd love for our family to live in a nice house near a great school, but...
But none of these resources exist in our neighborhood.
Many variables can shape the outcome of children's lives, like the zip code where they grow up. That's because not all communities have the same opportunities, such as quality schools and housing, fresh food, and good healthcare. There are many ways to improve communities so everyone has a fair chance, regardless of zip code. You can make a difference. Join with HUD and local leaders to improve your community. Learn how at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Fair housing, shared opportunity in every community. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Hey folks, James Carmody and Jared Kelly, the hosts of Rise Up Radio, your source for good news in the San Diego community. We are sharing the good news about what's going on. We need your help. If you are listening to this, please stop what you're doing. Go to sdriseup.com. In the bottom right corner of the page, there's a button that says, I will rise up. We need your help in sharing the good news in San Diego's community. Whether it's the local pastor of your church, your kid's little league coach, or small business owner, we want to share the good news. So go to sdriseup.com and share the stories.
AM 1170, The Answer, San Diego.
Welcome back. You are listening to Rise Up Radio. I'm your host, James Carmody. We got the U School in studio with us, Drake Fages, Scott Schimmel. Gentlemen, welcome back.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So we were starting to talk about, you know, people's stories and, you know, kids as they're going through school, high school, and then on to college. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what are we exposing them to? How are they deciding? Mm-hmm. And then it's kind of like they have to make this life decision like, hey, go do this for the rest of your life and here's his career. You know, and we can give them all these tests and questionnaires up the wazoo, but then it's still looking through the lens of a teenager who's kind of confused about what they want to be with. Mm-hmm. And then you get to college and it's like, oh my gosh, I got 4 years. Then it's like, oh, it's senior year. Here you go. You're going to be a professional in about 6 months. Right. So hustle up, Johnny.
Adult.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow. So
it's pressure.
So let's step back. What are you guys doing with schools to impact this?
Yeah. So The main thing that we do is we want to help people get clear about really important things. And we think what we see is even at middle school age, you can start thinking about answers to big, important questions in life. So Drake, five questions, the five questions that we do. I don't want to hog this.
Yeah. So the five questions that we would say really define your story or give you a roadmap to answering, really defining you are, knowing who you are turning into, knowing who you're becoming, knowing what your mission is, the problem you want to solve, knowing a unique contribution that you can make, to the world, defining who you belong to. And the last one is,
belief,
knowing what you believe. And that's not particularly faith in what you believe, which is huge and important, but it's what do you believe about the world? What do you believe about you in the world and how that is impacting each other?
So those turn into questions that we ask.
Yeah.
High school kids, what do you believe in? What kind of person are you becoming? What's your mission? How are you going to contribute? And who are you going to belong to along the way? So when we help somebody get clear about their answers, and those answers unfold throughout life, right? It's the next series of events that you go through are going to make those answers clearer and clearer. So we believe that even at 14, 15 years old, if you get clear about those answers, you're going to start filtering all the decisions and choices that are actually put upon you, thrust upon you by life. You're going to make clear decisions for the right reasons. You'll know why you're making these decisions. You'll know why you're going to go to that school or study for that SAT test. And so to come alongside a school and offer the curriculum for that, to train teachers to know how to have essentially social and emotional impact on a kid, where you might hear a teacher say, well, I was actually trained to be a biology teacher, but as a parent, I'm looking at that biology teacher saying, well, cool, I'm glad you're doing that. I want my son to know about biology, but I actually need you to be a part of their development. I need you to engage with them. I need you to engage their heart and their mind. And so we want to train teachers. We are training teachers. How do you have conversations that matter about things that really are important for life? How do we get our teachers to be sharing and opening up about their lives? The best research we've seen, in order to become a healthy adult, you need to have relationships with five healthy adults. So one kid needs to have interaction with five adults. Most kids don't, even in really nice zip codes. They know adults, they have adults in their life, but the adults don't necessarily know how to have conversations with teenagers. I mean, they're teenagers, right? So
sure. You
generally want to stay away from them, but we want to equip them to know how to talk to them, what to talk to them about, what to share personally. And when we do that, we see students open up and start thinking about these really important questions that then scaffolds into all the choices that they're going to make.
Fantastic. I mean, and it's so important, you know, as we look at kind of the era and the times that we live in, you know, we have more technology and more information, yet the dissatisfaction of human being is at historic highs.
Disconnection.
And, you know, it's tragic. You know, you have a kid with, you know, a view of the world and a view of themselves that they would walk in with a gun and take the lives of their peers.
Right.
So, you know, I think what you guys are doing is so, so important. Give me a couple of examples and share with our listeners a couple of examples of maybe some schools you have gone into and, you know, that process, or maybe a particular kid or a teacher.
Yeah, there's a lot of different kinds of schools.
Okay.
Especially these days. There's obviously public schools, there's private, there's charter, and then there's specialty schools. One that sticks out is the Monarch School, which is downtown San Diego. And they're serving students who are impacted by homelessness. Their family situation is difficult, transient. A lot of these students are dealing currently with homelessness or have or will. And so this school, which is a San Diego County Office of Education school, is specifically downtown in Barrio Logan to serve those students and their families. And so they give them amazing amount of resources and support, from food to helping them think through insurance to everything for these students. We're coming in to say, hey, there's actually even from a social and emotional standpoint, there's even more to do. And this stuff that we talk about is, because it's conversational and relatively simple, you can add that on top of all the other services and education that you're providing for these students. And so it fits into homeroom and advisory for these students, where teachers are now asking questions, engaging in the stories of these students' lives. And those teachers already do that. They do that on the side. They do that any chance they can. But our curriculum gives them the roadmap for how to do that, which conversations, which questions to ask, and when. So schools like the Monarch School, I mean, we're just like amazingly privileged to partner with them. And there's other schools, Poway High School, big, public, one of the best public high schools in the country. People move here to go to Poway High School. But what from a high pressure, these are kids that are going to go to college. They have to be 4.0. It's that kind of environment. We come in and train teachers how to do the same kind of conversations with very different kinds of students in homeroom and advisory and talk through who are you becoming, what matters to you. And in a high pressure academic environment like that, down to an intervention place like the Monarch School, we're using the exact same curriculum, but it's having very different results because it's solving different problems.
Yeah. And I love that, you know, you're using this curriculum and it's questions and it's a process. You know, Drake, walk us through, because this is a similar process for anybody. I don't care if you're a teenager, if you're a veteran, you're an athlete, you know, you're 50 years old and you find yourself in a career that you just aren't fulfilled with. You know, what are you seeing there with the veterans and the athletes?
Yeah, the process, I mean, that you mentioned, it's very similar. The process that we follow, the U-School process, we call it, it's self-reflection, peer interaction. You then have a guided conversation with advisors, with somebody like the U-School or a process that takes you through those steps. And it's the same thing. It'll surprise people out there. The same curriculum that we use in our high schools and middle schools and college setting is the same that we're using with Navy SEAL transition and veterans and working into high profile athletes. So having them answer those five key questions of life is vastly different, but all similar. If you look in those settings in the athlete and veteran space, although very similar and vastly different at the same time, those conversations and those questions have been answered for them for a while. It's black and white. Mm-hmm. They know who they belong to. They have teammates. They have people in their infantry that are with them. They have a vision of who they're turning into. They have their mission. Mm-hmm. They have it all lined out in front of them. But the second they step outside it, everything is flipped. And the pressures, the stresses that were there that you could push to the side about maybe where do I live or how do I raise my kids when I'm here all the time or how am I dealing with my spouse or with just life in general, these questions get kicked up, the pressure gets turned up, and all of a sudden it's, I'm not really sure exactly how to do this.
I've never had to.
Never had to. You've been, you know, you've been told how to walk, told how to eat, told how to do pretty much everything for the first 20, 30, 40 years of your life. And then it's like, now you have a plethora of choices and all these other stressors and factors in your life. Go for it. Good luck.
There's a lot of disorientation there in that transition. I haven't done it personally myself, but listening to these guys coming out of the military, it's the disorientation of who are going to be my people and what am I going to do? And I think underneath a lot of that, especially for special operators we've worked with, it's what am I going to do that's significant? Is that in the past from now on? Is that just the medals and the uniform in the closet? Or is there something else out there that I can do? And we look at that just from a societal standpoint and say, oh my gosh, you have some of the most tremendously gifted, talented, and well-deserved people on the planet. And you're like, don't be done. Please don't be done. Let's figure out what the next thing is that you can invest all that you have into that.
Wow. How do people like, you know, how do people learn about you guys? You know, how do we spread the wealth here?
Yeah. So far, what we've been doing is working inside schools and organizations. So a veteran organization, or I know Drake has been working with the U.S. Olympic Committee lately. So we'll find the organizations. It's a lot of word of mouth, friends to friends. A veteran goes through a program who then goes to teach in a school, pulls us in with them. Students who go off to a college will call us and say, hey, I've been talking about the U-School program in our school. Can we bring you here? Now we're transitioning, having done this for 5-6 years now, to have a platform online that you can find us. And we're in the beginning stages of learning how do we get the word out online. Because we've been so face-to-face, now we need to figure out how do we spread the word? Because this is, I mean, with all humility, this has been changing people's lives. We've had people just tell us they decide not to kill themselves because now they have a vision and a hope and they connect with people. So it feels like we need to steward this well, get the word out to other schools and to other veteran organizations and athletes and make sure that they get the chance to get through this as well.
Absolutely. Well, you can count on Rise Up Radio to certainly share and, you know, put some gas on this fire for you guys.
Awesome.
I'm a fan of the fire because I love what you're doing. You know, we got a couple minutes. What are some parting words and thoughts that you want to share with the audience? What do people need to know? What's relevant?
Yeah, I think one of the big things we talk about when we're in front of people is about story, the story of your life. And we were talking about this before this and during our break, that this idea that anybody has been given a story for their lives. And sometimes that story is really good. Like you're going to be successful. You're going to be a lawyer, doctor, attorney. You're going to go in the military. But for a lot of people, the story they've been told about themselves is not good. It's you're never going to accomplish that. You're going to be just like your dad, let's say. But regardless, whatever the story that's been handed to you, there's something else underneath that. There's, we say, a great story inside of you waiting to be discovered and then waiting to be lived and told. And so we want people to actually have hope that they're, I think most people give up hope because how do I figure that out? We want to say there actually is a process to figure out what that great story could be. And you can get the tools to start living it out.
Yeah. And I think it's just taking the time to actually sit down and think through it, getting the time to put yourself in a position, creating the space to self-reflect on some of the things that we've probably been told since we were little. Like, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Yeah.
Reflect on that. What was it? Why? And
even
then what's relative now?
Totally. Yeah, think about
Can we share these questions?
You know,
Show
great. Notes. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. So it's just creating the space, the time, and vulnerability gets vulnerability from people trying to have conversations with their kids or their coworkers mm-hmm. or their employees. By giving your story, giving a piece of you to somebody that you've sat and thought through, great things happen, and we see it daily.
Things open up.
Yeah,
absolutely. So, folks, I think the message here is one: go to theuschool.com, learn more about what these guys are up to. Mm. It's I think that you guys are just in the beginning of getting started on making a massive impact that we could see for generations. And really, number two is. Be that listener, be that unjudging open ear to your friends, family, colleagues, kids, and parents, and have people around you win. You know, if you see that they're struggling in life and they're not satisfied with whether it's school or job, whatever, you know, start to have those questions. Hey, what are you passionate about? What are you stoked about? What do you want to impact? Okay. Yeah. And then from there, who are the other people you need to talk to?
Yeah.
And start to build that peer and mentor and guides around you.
Yeah.
But folks, definitely check out theuschool.com. Scott Schimmel, Drake Frages, thanks for being here, guys. Really appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Take a short break. We'll be back in a few.
AM 1170, The Answer.
Hey, folks, James Carmody and Jared Kelly, the hosts of Rise Up Radio, your source for good news in the San Diego community. We are sharing the good news about what's going on. We need your help. If you are listening to us, please stop what you're doing. Go to sdriseup.com. In the bottom right corner of the page, there's a button that says, I will rise up. We need your help in sharing the good news in San Diego's community. Whether it's the local pastor of your church, your kid's Little League coach, or small business owner, we want to share the good news. So go to sdriseup.com and share the stories.
Life is full of bittersweet transitions. It's difficult to know how these changes will impact us over time. For some people, difficult transitions like retirement, divorce, or loss of a loved one can hit harder than expected and may contribute to feelings of hopelessness or even thoughts of suicide. The risk of suicide is even higher for men over 50 who served our country. Guys like me. That's why support from friends and family makes such a big difference. Every day, your actions could help save a life. Together, we got this. Learn how you can help save a life at VeteransCrisisLine.net.
AM 1170, The Answer.
Welcome back. You are listening to Rise Up Radio. I'm your host, James Carmody. Folks, we are in our second half, and we are entering into our third year. Todd, 3 years.
Amazing. Time flies when you're having fun, right?
Time flies when you're having fun. And the thing that really puts a smile on my face is that we're booked out 3 months at a time, all from people who have either come on the show, they've nominated someone, and it just keeps driving home to me that San Diegans want to hear about the good news.
It's amazing. And you know, it's a great show on the weekends because it's a feel good. All of your guests, you know, are servant leaders.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. I love it. I'm a San Diego native. These people coming in, I go, they are making my city better. I really love it. And your show is improving that, and it's putting a spotlight on those people who deserve it.
I love it. I mean, people are walking the walk, talking the talk. And I think that we're just starting to scratch the surface. I think there's so many good stories out there in San Diego of people doing good work, and it's our mission to share them.
3 years down, 30 to go, right?
That's right. That's right. So, folks, thank you so much for all the love and support for Rise Up Radio. You know, you're follow us online at sdriseup.com. We have another amazing guest here for the second half of the show. We have a woman who actually just started an organization, Evolve Strategic Talent Partners. It's kind of a mouthful, Evolve Strategic Talent Partners. And we're going to talk about a very important topic that's actually a good segue coming back from the U School. And we're going to be getting into the workforce. What does the new workforce look like as we approach 2020 and beyond? What's going on with millennials, employee experience? We have a lot to cover. So the founder of Evolve Strategic Talent Partners, Hollis Winkler, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
So, you know, excited to jump into Evolve Strategic Talent Partners. But before we do that, share with our audience a little bit, you know, what's your background? Where are you originally from? And, you know, where did you go to school? And what was your professional career like before this?
Sure. I'm originally from the East Coast. I grew up in Virginia.
Me too.
Oh, really? And I grew up in Purcellville, Virginia, which is about 50 miles west of D.C.,
okay.
And the countryside, at least it was countryside back then.
Yep. Love it back then. I got family sprinkled all around from Fairfax to Manassas to Richmond. They're all over the place.
There you go. And then I went to school in New Orleans. So I went to Tulane University. Okay. Graduated from
Great
Tulane.
School.
Yes. Graduated from Tulane many years ago. And I started a career. And I've made my career the past 20 years. I've been in human resources in all different types of companies all over the world.
Wow.
So I have lived and worked certainly in the U.S. and also overseas, both in Europe and Asia. Mm. And in 2013, I repatriated back to the United States to come work for Thermo Fisher Scientific, okay. Who is a company that you may have heard of here in town. Thermo Fisher Scientific acquired Life Technologies in 2014.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And I came over for the acquisition and was in some HR leadership roles for Thermo Fisher Scientific. And then in last summer, left Thermo Fisher and have decided to start my own consultancy based on helping companies to achieve their goals through talent and organizational strategies.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't think of a better person to consult the workforce than someone who's had, you know, a really strong career in the human resources department.
Yes. 20 long years.
Yeah. So that's fantastic. So, you know, what did you see as really the missing that said, you know what, there's a missing in the market. There's a missing in organizations that I'm going to start this company.
Right. And in essence, it wasn't just about what was missing to me. It was actually about where could I bring my collective knowledge and skill set to make an impact and make a difference.
Great.
And not only with companies, but also with employees. And in an HR type of role, you often hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so there's been times when I've had employees come to me and say things like, I'm really disengaged, or I dread coming into the office. Or I even had an employee tell me, hey, you know, I cried on the way into the office today. And that's a pretty serious, those are pretty serious things to say.
Yeah, nobody wants to hear that as a, you know, a team leader or a boss. It's
exactly,
the last thing.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, organizations spend a lot of time and a lot of money trying to drive employee engagement. But what we actually know today is that 70% of all U.S. workers either are neutral or disengaged.
Interesting.
Yes.
70%.
So obviously something's not working. And over $700 million are spent annually in engagement types of programs, trying to improve engagement. And so there's a real opportunity there in terms of helping companies be able to improve employee engagement. But there's also another factor. And that factor is that by 2020, we're going to have 50% of U.S. workers are going to be millennials.
And 50% by 2020.
50%. And that's important because we already know today that the millennial generation and even the post-millennials, which are called iGen.
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 I learn something new every day. Todd, you know about iGen?
No.
Yes.
iGen. Okay. What's the age? Where's the age cutoff? I don't really know.
iGen are anywhere from age 7 to 21. And millennial today.
My nieces and nephews.
Yes. And then today, millennials are anywhere between 22 and 36.
22 and 36. I just
missed the cutoff for millennials.
Yeah. I think I'm like a Gen Y or whatever, like the late 70s to early 80s. We have like a micro generation. Anyway.
But what is interesting is that baby boomers and Gen X, I'm part of Gen X, and we don't often understand what motivates millennials. We don't often understand how this generation differs, and we don't understand how to keep millennials engaged. And I thought, you know, there's a lot of folks who are thinking about and talking about this gap, but there's not a lot of folks who are able to come in and have the real world experience to say, hey, you know, I think I know what to do to help you.
Right.
And so I thought to myself, you know, we spend so much time at work and we most of our lives are spent at work. We should enjoy what we're doing. We should be able to take some of the mystery out of how to translate, you know, things that motivate our employees in a meaningful way. We should be able to create an employee experience that matters and that's impactful and that has a purpose. And so one of the things that I do is go into companies and help them assess what their employee experience looks like and help them begin to demystify those generational gaps.
Very important. You know, I think that people are going to act correlate as how, you know, the situation, the opportunity shows up. And if someone's disengaged or, you know, they don't really like it or they're not fulfilled in any of these ways, the product of their work is going to suffer.
Yes, absolutely. It's there's actually a link today. Some companies who are a little bit more progressive are making this link today, but there's actually a link between employee experience and then customer experience.
100%.
And some companies who are like Airbnb is an example, Oracle is an example. They're actually taking lessons learned and ways of working in their customer experience team and applying that to building out an employee experience so that they can draw the links between the two. It's fascinating work.
Yeah, I mean, that makes complete sense. So mm-hmm. What are you seeing as, I guess, you know, I'm picturing like some of these like old archaic like dinosaur companies, and it's like my way or the highway kind of thing. And they're in for a harsh reality here in the next 3 to 5 years.
Well, what we're in the middle of is a transition from the industrial age into the technological age.
Yeah.
And it, although I think we could all look at the economy and the environment and say, oh, we're already in the technological age. That's a true statement, except that companies and employees are now making that transition with the millennials coming in. Millennials are folks who have, they've had technology their entire life. And so as we look at how technology is transforming the workforce, creating automation, artificial intelligence, machine learning, and so forth, jobs are actually going to change. And how you work and what was important before is changing. So an example might be in the industrial age, what you knew and what you did and accomplished was very important, and that gave you power. And now it's much more relational based. So it's about EQ, it's about the relationships, it's about leveraging relationships to get work done or to pull in other people to collaborate on ideas. And so that's a huge shift in the workforce, and companies find themselves today either still in the industrial age or in some sort of uncomfortable mix between working in industrial mindset and with a more technological mindset.
Unpack that a little more for me, because you know I'm sitting here and I'm sure some of the listeners are like, wait a minute. All right, so I understand the industrial, mm-hmm. you know, industrial versus technological. I would think though that I don't know. Like what? So when you look at technological and someone who's had technology their whole time. Mm-hmm. What are the, you said they want relational, which kind of is surprising to me.
They do. So it's really about what motivates millennials. And one of the most recent research is out there says that millennials are not motivated by the same things that we are. And an example might be that in the past, workers have been motivated by a paycheck.
Right,
a big number,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that millennials don't want a paycheck, but they are more motivated by having a purpose.
Mm.
And in the past, we think about job satisfaction as being a motivator. And in millennials tend to think of development as a motivator. So discovering, developing themselves, personal development. So there are a number of different factors that are just very different.
So when you see, okay, so wow, that's fascinating. I actually don't have any millennials on my team at this time. Most of us are just above that. But that's fascinating. I mean, I think that that's very important, is that development and that purpose and that sense of mission and, you know, am I playing a part in that mission and what is the greater mission? And also in return, how am I being developed individually?
That's correct.
Wow. And in any, you know, a recent example, you know, of a team or a group that you engaged and you're like, all right, this doesn't really work. Maybe we need to change this.
Sure. I've worked with a technology team, a digital team, and often the digital talent is talent who maybe computer programming, for example,
yeah.
software development. And one of the things that we did is we went into universities and we would work with the universities to bring the talent into the organization.
Okay.
And the expectations were very different. And so we would set up, and this is a model that we often see today in technology companies, but set up these squads, if you will, or pods. And the teams are basically self-driven.
Yep.
So they have coaches. They don't have managers. You know, it's really about having that independence to work in that collaborative environment rather than these are your things that you do today.
Here's the hierarchy.
That's right.
Here are the orders. I love that because I'm very much very big on team, and I'm very big on team as everyone's in the same level. Everyone has an input and everyone makes a difference.
Sure.
You know, so that's fantastic. Let's talk more about that. Folks, we have Hollis Winkler with Evolve Strategic Talent Partners in studio with us. We're going to take a short break. You're listening to Rise Up Radio. Stick around. We'll be back in a few.
1170, The Answer.
Hey folks, James Carmody, Synergy One Lending. Are you in the market to buy a property and need to close really fast? Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team is your family-owned mortgage bank. Right now, there's low inventory, there's a lot of offers, it's competitive. Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team can close your loan in as little as 10 days. Call today to find out more. 858-525-3086. Call James Carmody and the Carmody team at Synergy One Lending, 858-525-3086.
Soil, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Soil Ship Enterprise, to explore soil life, to boldly grow where cover crops have never grown before. Farmer's Log, soil date 31655.4. We've come across some strange but incredibly helpful life forms. We didn't have to travel far to find them, but these organisms have proven invaluable on our trip through the solar system. They help feed us by nourishing and protecting our crops. They've built our soil structure to make it more resilient to the harsh weather we encounter. Our sensors indicate they're even helping us store carbon that plants take out of the atmosphere and put it back into the soil. Guess you can say our living and life-giving soil is the best thing to cling on to. Sorry. That's soil fleet humor. Visit your local USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service office today and learn more about the basics and benefits of soil health. This message brought to you by USDA and this radio station.
Hey folks, James Carmody and Jared Kelly, the hosts of Rise Up Radio, your source for good news in the San Diego community. We are sharing the good news about what's going on. We need your help. If you are listening to this, please stop what you're doing. Go to sdriseup.com. In the bottom right corner of the page, there's a button that says, I will rise up. We need your help in sharing the good news in San Diego's community. Whether it's the local pastor of your church, your kid's little league coach, or small business owner, we want to share the good news. So go to sdriseup.com and share the stories.
AM 1170, The Answer.
Welcome back, folks. I'm your host, James Carmody. You're listening to Rise Up Radio. You're following us at strriseup.com. We have Hollis Winkler in studio with us, and Hollis is the founder of Evolve Strategic Talent Partners. And Hollis is looking at what is the workforce, what is the changing and evolving workforce, and what does it look like with new generations? And one of the things, Hollis, that we were starting to talk about is, you know, kind of these generational gaps, right? You know, mm-hmm. you talked about there's the generation that were, you know, industrial, then technological. They have different wants and needs. And, you know, as a business owner, how do you sift through all that stuff?
You know? Sure.
And I guess I'd start to look at, you know, these experiences. You know, you mentioned the wants and needs are different. You know, maybe just to kind of recap, what were some of the wants and needs of industrial versus technological? And then maybe we can start to kind of compare and contrast and get into that employee experience.
Sure. I would really frame it in terms of what were the key motivators for workers, certainly in the past, and then how are we shifting? What are some of the key motivators for a lot of the millennials who are in the workforce today, and how do they differ? Yeah. And so millennials, as we talked about before, millennials, as we talked about before, really look to have a purpose in the work. And in the past, a purpose is nice, but pay was more important.
Sure. People have mortgage and rent and
that's right.
kids school
that's
and
right.
all of that.
That's right. And then, you know, in the past, we think about job satisfaction. That's something that has been personally very important to me, is to have job satisfaction.
Yeah.
But then in the millennial generation is more focused on development. So personal development, professional development.
Yeah.
And we also see in the past, there's been a link to, let's have a good boss. I really want to make sure that my boss is great.
Yeah.
And millennials don't necessarily like the idea of a boss or a manager. Like, they really like the idea of a coach.
Yep.
And we also see it in terms of the concept of job. And I think that this one is pretty interesting. So in the past, a job for many of us is also a major part of our life. And so we focus on the job.
Yep.
Millennials are more focused on life. A job is part of the life, but there is a shift in focus more so to life. And what is my life going to look like? And how can I create the best life experiences?
And do you think that's, you know, they're looking for, you know, work-life balance is what comes to mind, but I don't even know if that's real. But, you know, do they want a certain number of time off, travel? Like, well, what does that look like for a millennial?
It's not necessarily about having this, you know, time off to travel. It's about life experiences and how they feel about it. So an example would be that many millennials, they say 9 out of 10 millennials believe that they deserve their dream job.
Wow.
I'm a Gen X and I've never considered it that way. So if you think about deserving your dream job, the dream job means there's a wonderful blend of working and life.
Okay.
And so that, and it becomes a way to live your life doing what you love in your dream. A lot of us would like to have that, who, you know, have been, who are baby boomers or Gen X. We would love to have that mix, that perfect mix. That's sort of the Shangri-La. But, and we will work for that. But that is not how we look at it. We have a job because we need to have a job. And millennials tend to work because they want to work.
Got it. Okay.
And that really shifts into
employee experience.
And so what companies have done is that they've had the premise in their mind that employees need to work. And so you come into the office and they provide you with a computer, a phone, a desk, tools you need to do your job.
Yeah.
Now go work, right? These are the basics. This is what you need. And now if we think about a workforce who comes in and they might need some money and they might need to work and they have a passion and a purpose about what they're doing, but they want to work. How do we create an environment where employees want to work? And that's a big question. And I think that the answer to that is unique to every single company. So that's an opportunity for companies to consider what is it that we have to offer that helps employees want to work here? And so there are three things that employees can focus on. One is the culture. This is something that employers are very good at focusing on. So we think about culture, we think about employee engagement, and these are two things we spend a lot of time and focus on. That's really only one of three areas to think about. The second one is technology. So these are the actual technological tools. So what is your technological environment? And what are the tools needed to do your job? The mobile apps, the computer, the software, systems that make sense. And so, and they're newer and relevant is a good word for technological, the technological environment. And then the last one is really the physical environment. So that's anything that the look and feel, the smell, the taste, and so forth of the office. And this becomes more and more important because if you spend all your time at work and you think about your lifestyle, right, and your life, you want to be sure that you're surrounded in an environment that promotes collaboration, that feels good to be there, and that you want to come in and you want to work there. So we think a lot of companies are taking a look at facilities, they're taking in taking a look at how the layout of the company, the food and so forth, and what is on offer from a physical standpoint. So these are things that make up the employee experience.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I think it's so important to be focusing on those things, you know, because you want happy, satisfied employees that are engaged. And like we talked about in the last segment, you know, if you have a happy employee, you're going to have a happy customer.
Yes.
It's directly correlated.
Absolutely.
You have an upset employee, you may have an upset customer.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
Wow. So what are some things, you know, business owners like myself, people who listen to this that, you know, maybe they run a team. What should they be thinking about? What should we be doing?
Leaders of teams and employees will come and tell me that they have concerns about the generation gaps on their teams and how do they manage through that?
Yeah.
And there's some quick tips that teams can do in order to help to create a lot of clarity around what the expectations are. And so one of the things that I always recommend is make sure that you understand. If you're a team leader and you are leading a number of millennials, make sure you understand what motivates millennials. And that's individual, of course. It's not, we are talking about a group of people, but you want to get to know your employees on an individual basis and understand what motivates them. So one thing that you can think about, too, is how you can create a culture on your team. What we call it's a fail and fail fast. So it's okay to make mistakes. And this is important in a millennial with a millennial team. It's okay to make mistakes. We learn from those mistakes and we move on quickly. You also want to consider creating very clear expectations around what the role qualifications are, what the promotion timeline is, and also what the career path looks like. Because although we have a number of folks entering the workforce who do want to have their sort of dream and perfect job, we have a reality that we need to manage, which is that, you know, not everyone's going to get promoted, you know, quickly.
Sure.
We do have a career path. There's a lot of knowledge that needs to be built up in order to serve in specific roles. Another thing that businesses can do is come up with team agreements. And what I mean by this is have the team co-create what the rules of being on that team are like. So you're creating some boundaries around activity and behavior. And that could be boundaries around time. We start our meetings on time.
Yep.
You know, we listen. We don't talk over other people. Or how do we make decisions as a team? How do we drive consensus? What does collaboration look like? And when people from different generations come together, sometimes these are the big questions, the things that don't make sense between generations. And once you can drive consensus on that team about what it's going to look like, at least you have clarity on the day-to-day. And then the other thing is around performance management.
Okay.
So performance management is also another hot topic we could have
a whole
other segment on. But the performance management, it's really a shift, and we're already seeing this in a lot of companies, but a shift from these conversations and annual review about the things that went well and the things that went wrong to having ongoing dialogue, really that shift from the annual review process into ongoing dialogue in the moment. There are mobile apps today, the software today, where teams actually have instant feedback. So
I love that.
So is the idea is that you're always continuing to learn, to continue to grow. So companies that are able to invest in that or take a look at those processes and so forth will actually help to manage a bit of this transition from a generational perspective.
Fantastic. You know, this is just a fascinating topic we could talk about for days on end. Unfortunately, we're going to wrap up. A couple parting words for our listeners.
I would just say, you know, I think that this is a very important topic, and I think as we continue to evolve, certainly in as companies continue to evolve and as technology continues to evolve and the way that we work and the future of work changes, really companies really need to be thinking about what their employee experience looks like, how they're going to manage this transition with the generations in order to continue to be able to attract the right kind of talent.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to impact your bottom line,
that's right.
You need talent. You need happy employees. You need to work on that employee experience.
That's right,
folks. Hollis Winkler has been with us for the Evolve Strategic Talent Partners. Hollis, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Rise Up Radio, folks. We hope that you enjoyed the show. You have a fantastic Saturday night. You have a great weekend, and remember, rise up.